Welcome to Truth and Healing Podcast. It's your girl, Gifty. I trust you are doing well. Today we're going to talk about reasons why praying the Psalms will not work for you. There are conditions to praying the Psalms, and we're going to go into detail as to why and reasons why praying the Psalms will not work for you. So, praying the Psalms is a spiritual warfare. Praying the Psalms is a spiritual warfare. And warfare is the highest form of warfare methods that those who have enlisted in the school of spiritual warfare can make use of. That's how powerful the Psalms is. It is not everyone that can rise up and begin to practice the Davidic spiritual warfare methods. There are preparations to make. There are grounds to cover. There are things to do in order to lay the ground work and ensure that a solid platform is made for involvement in praying the Psalms in a spiritual warfare battle. The types of prayers that the psalmist prayed required fulfillment of certain conditions. Everything comes with conditions. So when you fulfill these conditions, it becomes easy for you to function effectively in the field of spiritual warfare. You must, and I repeat, you must be strong in the Lord. You must be anointed with His power. And how do you get that? It's having a relationship with God. And how do you get and have a relationship with God? It is through what? Praying and reading the Word of God, knowing who He is and how to relate to Him best. You must actually also make sure that you are sufficiently prepared and ready to go into the realm of high level of spiritual warfare, because you're going to get bounce backs. What are the things that are needed in order to apply the principles of what? Praying the Psalms in spiritual warfare, and to come up with uncommon prayer points. Here are the points that you need to know and the steps you need to take. First, you have to repent. You cannot tell me you're a holy person. We're not all holy. And nobody is holy. Even our holiness is like filthy rags before Jehovah. So we're not holy. First step is we need to repent. What is repentance? You cannot confront the kingdom of darkness when you are living in sin. That is one. You cannot face the enemy and vomit fire from your mouth by praying the Psalms when you have not repented of your sins. So you can say, oh yeah, what I did to him or her, he deserved it. And that's what? Tit for tat. There's no repentance here. No, there is repentance. You have to repent. Because you cannot just go on and on and on about, oh, somebody did you wrong and somebody did you bad and somebody, you're always complaining. You're never at fault. You need to repent. And when you fully repent, guess what happens? The devil will not be able to come up with negative accusations that will cripple your prayers. What you need to do today is to come to the Lord and repent. And I mean repent. Let me spell it. R-E-P-E-N-T. Repent. Ask God for mercy. Pray that the blood of Jesus would wipe away your iniquities and wash you until you are whiter than snow. Where do you find that word? Psalm 51. Wash me with hyssop and I shall be whiter than snow. That's you repenting before God. Point number two is separation. Why do you need to separate yourself? You must be in total separation from the world. And in the world, I mean all the chaoses and the noises and the voices that are around you. You need inner and outward holiness. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 4, no man had worth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. In Psalm 24, the Word of God says he is a mighty man of war. For you to be a son or a daughter of the Most High God, you have to be a soldier somehow. You have to have military skills. So if you want to be an effective soldier in the hands of your Maker, on the field of spiritual warfare, you must not be found in you, and there must not be found in you traces of worldliness and iniquity. You must be pure within and without. While Jesus is carrying out his earthly ministry, he boldly declared, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and he had nothing in me." John 14 verse 30. Jesus knew that he was what? Guilt. Not guilty, guiltless. He had no iniquity in him. And in John 8 verse 46, New King James Version, again Jesus asked, "Which of you convicts me of sin?" Which one of you, and he was talking to the disciples, which one of you can say I have sinned in one way or the other? He was able to separate himself from the world, and that was why he could confront the powers of darkness boldly and fully. Nothing was stopping him. So he had what? Free access to confront them. Because the devil could not go to God and accuse him of anything. Point number three, endurance. And this is where we all fall short. We don't know how to endure. It is not an entitlement mentality. I go to church, I pay my tithe, I pray, so God owes me something, he owes you nothing. You have to learn to endure. Spiritual soldiering requires a great deal of endurance. And I kid you not. You must be a strong soldier on the battlefield. Not a weakling, because they don't take weak people to the battlefield. They sit you down. The type of spiritual warfare that David practiced is not meant for the jellyfish Christian. The wobbly, wobbly ones. You must be bold and strong. And you must be hardened warfare practitioner. In 2 Timothy 2 verse 3, "Thou therefore endureth hardness as a great soldier of Christ Jesus." You need to endure the stress. You need to endure the hardships. You need to endure the betrayals. You need to stand and stand tall. And the hardness of spiritual warfare. Because you're going to get hit back. But can you stand? And can you endure? That is the question. Endurance is key in you winning the battles of your life. Adversity must not make you to chicken out. Trials will come. Being a Christian is not an entitlement mentality. Being a child of God is not an entitlement mentality. You must learn to war. You must learn to endure. You must be tough-minded and keep fighting the good fight of faith until you achieve total victory. God will not give you anything for free. So if you think you're under grace, so God owes you something, you're kidding yourself. Fourth point, hatred. You cannot confront an enemy you do not hate. You cannot confront an enemy you do not hate. You have to have your blood boiling against your enemy to be able to confront them. You cannot be aggressive when you secretly love God's enemies. How do you love somebody and confront them as if they are your enemy? It's impossible. You can't be wishy-washy. That's the bottom line. You're either in or you're out. You're black or you're white. Which one is you? In Psalm 139 verse 21 to 22, "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies." This is having a zeal and a passion for God and the work of God. It's not about you. it's about seeking first the kingdom of God. You must hate spiritual enemies with passion. And when you know that these enemies are very wicked and they will not spare you, you too should not spare them. And it doesn't matter whether they're sister-in-law, your mother-in-law, your wife, your sister, your brother, whoever, spare them not. You must exhibit holy anger and serious spiritual aggression when you are on the battlefield, because there are no friends in the battlefield. You're dealing with your enemies. This is the only time you can fight the enemy without mercy and take up this type of prayer points that are found at the end of praying the Psalms. Point number 5, knowledge. You need knowledge. You cannot be a jellyfish Christian who doesn't know the Word of God, who doesn't know who he or she is in Christ, and think you can war and win the battle. Impossible. You need knowledge, and you need to get yourself involved in reading the Word of God. To get knowledge, to be able to pray the Psalms. In 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. You can only know the devices of the enemy when you know the Word of God. And through the Word of God, you will know also how to defeat them and the kind of weapons you need to destroy them. You need knowledge. I can't stress that enough. You need knowledge so that you will not pray amiss. When you are harmed with knowledge and you employ the weapon of aggressive prayer points, you will overcome the enemy in record time. So, please, study to show yourself approved. Work out your own salvation. Enough with calling pastors and people to pray for you. Learn to pray for yourself. Point number 6, you need to be persistent. It's not a one-time go to war and come home and that's it. I won the battle. No, you need to be persistent. You need to be persistent when you are dealing with the enemy. In Psalm 18 verse 37 says, I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back until they were what? Consumed. And other version says what? They were destroyed. Do not spare your enemies, because they will not spare you. So you need to go on steadily in spite of opposition and oppression. Stand tall and steadfast in the God that you have trusted. There are times when the devil will try to intimidate you and tell you that you have lost the battle. Do not listen to the voice of the enemy. Be persistent and keep fighting until you overcome the devil and his agents, his custodians, his cohorts, and their devices. Point number 7, you need to pray ascetic prayers. Why do you need to pray ascetic prayers? You need to get ready to pray ascetic prayers in order to destroy your enemies. But acid is corrosive. Yes. You have to be willing to erode every plan and scheme of the enemy out of your way, which you will soon begin to pray ascetic prayers. These prayers are not mild in any way. They are aggressive, dangerous, and must be handled without any pity for the enemy. What is regarded as Davidic spiritual warfare, which is to pray in the Psalms, needs aggression and a mindset that is strong and bold. Not the kind that is shaky. You're not a jellyfish. When you pray, the results you will experience will shock your enemies, amaze your friends, and surprise yourself. Get ready for serious praying. Your history will change only if you persist and you endure and be ready to use the weapons that God is showing you to war. Your story will become amazing, and your experience will reveal the awesome power of Jehovah over your life. So don't sit there and be quiet. Learn to war. Learn to fight. 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 Let the table of my enemies become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap in the name of Jesus. Let their habitation become desolate, and let none dwell in their tent in the name of Jesus. This is in Psalm what? 54, verse 6. Don't sit there and think God is going to fight for you and you can sit there and be a gentleman or a woman. It doesn't work. You have to learn to be aggressive. You have to learn to separate yourself. You have to learn to endure. You have to learn to be persistent. And you have to learn also to pray ascetic prayers. If you know you're not bold, don't tackle this. If you know you cannot stand, don't tackle this. Praying the Psalms, you need boldness, you need persistence, you need to endure. Do not sit there and think manna will fall from heaven for you. It doesn't work. You have to hate the enemies that are destroying you and be willing and say to yourself, enough is enough. You have to get to that point where enough is enough. I have to take them out. Because they will not spare you if you leave them alone. They will not spare you. And God is faithful. His faithfulness cannot be measured. His faithfulness cannot. And I mean cannot be compared to. So don't sit there and sulk. Don't sit there and have a cry me, pity me party. Because truly nobody cares. If you think people care for you, because you're always complaining, you got something to say, you're whining, and who did you what, and who did you... Get on your knees and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Because if you're not praying, nothing is changing. And people do not lose sleep because you're crying. When they have to sleep, they will sleep. When they have to go to the bathroom, they will go to the bathroom. When they have to eat, because they're hungry, they will eat. And you're still sulking. Stop. 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 Because the God that you're serving is a mighty man of war. So be ready to fight. Be ready to fight. Be ready to war and take back your destiny. Be ready to war and take back your destiny. For life, as you know it, you're responsible for the outcome of it. You're responsible for the outcome of your life. So learn to war and learn to take back what is yours. Learn to take back what is yours. Because until you start moving, you're not getting to your destination. God bless you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.